Hello and welcome to Sports Shenanigans with Houston and Mullet. We are here and back to talk about the NFL divisional round that happened last week. We gave you a little preview on the last episode. We'll see if we came out right on any of it. And then we have the conference championship games coming up on Sunday. And so give a little preview of that. And we'll see what else we run into along the way here. So start out, let's see, the first game there was the Jaguars and the Chiefs. I think this game, Casey, was closer than I thought it would be, but it was also partly because Patrick Mahomes was hurt, and that's obviously the big storyline this week is how hurt is Patrick Mahomes. We heard he has a high ankle sprain. He did finish the game, or, you know, came back in, finished the game last Saturday. But definitely something that they're monitoring right now to see how healthy is he as they get ready to go into the championship round. And so, but Jaguars did keep it close, 27-20 for the Chiefs. And I didn't think it was Mahomes. I don't know how I didn't get to see the game. I don't know how much the Mahomes injury impacted that, but I was definitely anticipating the Chiefs not having that much trouble with Jacksonville.
Yeah, it was much closer than what, I mean, I think all of America thought. But, I mean, Chiefs still pulled it out because they are the better team. Jacksonville, you know, doing great. They've got a lot to build on, but their team won. The injury, I would say, is definitely why Jaguars were still even, I mean, Chiefs only won by a touchdown. I'm pretty sure that touchdown was Chad Henne. They came in, did like a 90-some yard.
Yeah, I think it was a 98-yard drive he did.
Yeah, so like that, I said that comes down to coaching. Like that just is the better coaching. I mean, Doug Peterson, I think, is a good coach, but like Andy Reid, great coaching to bring in, you know, the backup 98-yard drive to touchdown to like win the game.
Well, it didn't win. It was in the
second. Maybe it was. Yeah. Either way, it's a touchdown. They won by 7. Helps them win the game. I didn't necessarily watch the game either, so this is why my brain's a little fuzzy. And that was a week ago. But the injury is what made this game so close. Because I'm sure, I don't know how many drives Mahomes was out, but like I'm sure it was at least 2 or 3 probably, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But
I mean, it's closer. I mean, I going in, I think on the preview, I gave Jacksonville a 1% chance to win, and they got within a touchdown, so I'll give them credit there.
Yeah.
The game following that, I also, so I didn't see, I went to something else. I was busy on that Saturday, so I didn't see either of these games, but I would have seen the end of this game if there would have been any reason to turn it on. 38-7 Eagles over the Giants. I believe it was like 24-0 when I got back, and I was like, well, that's not even worth
watching,
turning in for. And so, and that's why, again, I was busy on that Saturday, but I also, like,
wasn't concerned.
What?
You weren't concerned about missing a good football game?
Well, that's why I figured the Chiefs were probably going to win pretty easily, and I thought they I did say on here that I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants were close or maybe even pulled it out. But I was definitely, you know, the Eagles are the better team of the two. Yeah, I wasn't super. I thought the roles would be reversed here. I thought Chiefs might do 38-7. I thought Eagles might be 27-20. Either way, the outcome wasn't surprising on either end. I don't think anyone missed anything if they didn't see it. But I don't have much to say about these games. They were pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, going through the year, Eagles dominated. You expected them to dominate because they're the better team. And the Giants, I mean, you look at the Giants and you go, really, what do they have? They have Saquon and Daniel Jones. And I can't name you another player on their team.
Well, they have Dexter Lawrence as a Pro Bowler.
You know who's there.
There is Darius Slayton's one of the receivers. I think Landon Collins went back to the Giants. You know, he left and went to Washington, and now he's back on the Giants, I believe.
Interesting.
I
feel like you're still just making my point because we're saying a bunch of names that I don't think many people know.
Okay. Just to keep in mind, the Giants were one of the top picks in the draft last year and got a new coach, and now they're in the playoffs. And they didn't add a ton. I mean, they added
two very good first round picks.
Thibodeau.
He's pretty good.
What?
So he's a douchebag, but he's pretty good.
Okay. Well, but yeah, so they were a surprising team to even make the playoffs. No one was expecting them to go on a big run here.
Yeah.
I
think they won one more game than people thought.
Yeah. The next day, I believe the first game was Bengals and Bills. This was a game that we were looking forward to. Obviously, you had the tragedy that we thought we were going to get it on Monday Night Football one week, and then the DeMar Hamlin thing happened. But so people were excited because these are 2 and 3 seed. You know, you got the Chiefs, Bengals, and Bills have kind of been up there at the top of the AFC the last few years. It's a big, big matchup. It was in Buffalo. It was a blizzard, and Cincinnati had their way with Buffalo. Couldn't do anything, and I was.
Nope.
I will say, It's not that I'm surprised that Cincinnati won. It's the manner in which they won, especially given the conditions, because I thought a blizzard in Buffalo really would play into the hands of Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Bengals were so injured on the offensive line, and because they're such a, you know, weapons, Jamar Chase, I thought the blizzard would affect them some. The Bengals could have, I mean, I'm that score could have easily been like 38 to 10. Like, the Bengals were moving, doing whatever they wanted to. I think, and then the Bills only putting up 10 points was shocking, but I think there was a lot of hype for the Bills coming into this year. I did hear a point that I thought that's kind of warranted, was that the Bills got more credit for losing to Kansas City than Cincinnati got for actually beating them and going to the Super Bowl. But and you know, everyone talks about, I think everyone gets so caught up in the, and I'm one of them, I was there, but you have the crazy highs of Josh Allen, and he did not play good for the last 3 months of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a question now. I think you have Patrick Mahomes as the number one. I think you have Joe Burrow as the number two. And I don't think Josh Allen maybe starts like in the AFC, like in the AFC, it probably goes, you could probably make an argument for three between Allen, Herbert, and Lawrence. And that would be like kind of your 3 through 5, and you can take your pick of what order you want them in. But I don't think there's any, I don't think anyone can argue that they'd have Josh Allen over Joe Burrow.
No. No, you can't. You look at it, it's something I saw, or it came up after the Bills lost. And it's the stats of Stefon Diggs in both of the losses that knocked him out of the last two playoffs. This game, he had like 3 catches for, I don't know, 30 some yards maybe. And then the other game was like 1 catch or something like that. Mm-hmm. Basically, he didn't get anything, he didn't do anything. And I don't necessarily think it's on him. I think he wasn't really all that targeted, because I watched quite a bit of this game, and I never felt like Josh Allen targeted Stefon Diggs. I could be really wrong, because it is.
I saw him miss him pretty bad once.
Maybe that's it. Like I said, it's 2 hours of football. Lots of plays happens, and so you don't necessarily catch everything. But like, it really didn't feel like he was targeted. hitting him. And I'm going to say Stefon Diggs felt that way as well, considering once they lost, he went into the locker room, changed, left the locker room before the coaches even got there. And then I think Duke Johnson had to go get him and bring him back. And then he immediately left again. So Stefon Diggs is pissed about the situation. He didn't like being kicked out of the game, or not kicked out of the game, but like kicked out of the playoffs and not performing well or playing hard. So Stefon Diggs is not happy in Buffalo, sounds like. And maybe he's on the market to leaving. I don't even know what his deal looks like or any of that stuff. So that was an interesting
thing. That's my next point. So I have two. I have two things for you here. One is an interesting fact.
Ooh, I love interesting facts.
Every coach and quarterback partnership that has either won one or multiple Super Bowls won the first Super Bowl within the first 5 years of being together. There are two situations this year where they've been together 5 years. It's Josh Allen and McDermott, and it's Harbaugh and Lamar. And Lamar, like, that's not a good situation down there.
No.
I think there's a lot of people questioning if Bills need a coaching change right now because McDermott hasn't been able to figure out an offense in his entire tenure there. And not to mention, the defense hasn't performed when it gets into crunch time. Now, all that to say, I think the Bills might have missed their window because next year, this year, Josh Allen made, I think, $16 million. Stefon Diggs made $11 million. Something like that. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me. But I know next year, Josh Allen goes to $40 million. And Stefon Diggs goes to $22 million.
A lot more.
And they just paid an aging Von Miller that enormous contract that they're tied to for the next 5 years. The best teams Josh Allen was going to be on have been the past few years. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, all that money's going up. And the interesting thing about this, as I don't know if you remember this, but when Minnesota traded Stefon Diggs, they received a first, a third, and a fourth. They used that first round pick to pick Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
And so the Bills could have a receiver on his rookie deal in Justin Jefferson.
They could.
But they instead traded for Stefon. And that's not to say they shouldn't. I mean, Stefon Diggs is worth great.
That was a win-win deal, honestly.
No, it was great. I mean, Stefon Diggs is great. Depending on what the
third round and fifth round picks turned into, like, that could be a sway it. But, like, just to straight out the first for Stefon Diggs, that's very well swapped.
Yes. I mean, and that's what I mean. But Stefon Diggs has a much higher price tag, especially after coming up on this next year. I mean, you're going from. You paid the two of them $28 million this past year, and you're going to be paying them over $60 next year.
Yeah.
And so the rest of that team is going to be a lot weaker.
Yeah. I agree. I think they missed their window. The AFC is very, very good. I mean, you have Mahomes. You have Burrow, who has solidified himself as number two now, the QB in the league. Then you, in just the Bills division, you have Miami, who is trying to build a contend now team.
And the Bills struggle with them.
They did. All three of the games that the Bills played against Miami was decided by 3 points. Mm-hmm. Grant, the Bills won two of them, but 3 points deciding it is not a lot.
And they played Skylar Thompson in one of those.
Yeah, and they played Skylar Thompson. So that's...
The Jets are better.
Jets, okay, so that's what Patriots, I knew it was like crap. But like Miami has Tua, and Tua looked very good when he does not have a concussion. When he has a concussion, he does not look as good. The Jets look like an absolute monstrous team in the making if they can get a quarterback who is semi-competent. So the rumors of Aaron Rodgers going there is very interesting.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr would be great there. Really any veteran quarterback to go there, or even a rookie quarterback, it feels like. So that's two teams in their division alone that could knock them to the three, and then they have to fight for the wild card. And it's a lot harder to get a wild card, it feels like. So I think, yeah, I think they missed their calling, their opportunity. Obviously, like you just said, the money is not going to be there for, you're going to have to make some very good free agent signings that are cheap. You're going to have to make some very good draft picks to stay relevant. Because we see this all the time. Teams, you know, they win when the contracts are cheap, and then everything gets expensive, and then they suck for a while. And they get rid of those contracts, and they get young again. And that's the way, the name of the game. So that's why Cincinnati's in their win now window, because they have two star wide receivers and a rookie quarterback, all on rookie contracts, so they can pay the defense. Yeah, Bills suck. Going to suck in the future. It's great for the Miami.
And then the Cowboys and the 49ers played, and the 49ers win. Not really surprised. I knew the Cowboys are going to find a way to lose.
Oh, yeah, at some point.
I think the Cowboys had the most bizarre last play we've ever seen. Maybe the most bizarre play we've ever seen.
It is very, it is in the discussion as either the number one or number two. Obviously, the other one is happened to the Colts.
I think it's number one. I think it's number one.
I was going to say it's number one because he would like to be that to no longer be number one, which is fair.
To be fair, the ball was not supposed to be snapped for the Colts. In Dallas, that was the play. Like, they fully intended to, they went up there and lined up. And, you know, it's one thing. Sorry to interrupt you here, but it's one thing if you go and line up like that to like try and surprise them, but then they called a timeout and they were like, ah, screw it, we're doing it anyway. You know, it's like, and I just don't understand. You had two linemen here and you had three linemen here, and you had CeeDee Lamb behind the three and you had someone behind the two, and you threw it to the only guy who ran ahead of them and didn't have any linemen, and he just got blown up instantly, and Zeke got completely destroyed. I'm just
That was a terrible play design. I mean, both of those are terrible play designs. It doesn't make sense, because like I don't remember where they're at in the field, but they had at least 50 yards to go.
70. They were on the 30. This is the second year in a row where the Cowboys have gotten the ball with like 40 seconds left and they can't even get into Hail Mary range.
Yeah. But like, at least, you know, have a couple linemen in front of you so that you can send CeeDee Lamb. Just let CeeDee Lamb run.
Well, that's what,
just chuck a ball. Lord.
Well, that's what he threw it to the guy on the inside. The guy on the left that had two linemen in front of him, there was no one over there. They were all kind of in the middle of the field. The defenders were.
Yeah, they were all deep in the middle of the field because that's where they should be. But that was just a bad play. To me, that should cost your coach a job, because if you're like, yeah, I'm going to run with that. What is going through his brain at the other times in the games? That's my thought. That was bad. San Francisco, I want to get behind the Brock Purdy train and like be excited about it, but parts of me are just scared that Brock Purdy is going to be the new Golden Boy, and then he's going to become the new Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's going to leave. And here's our new Tom Brady. I don't like that.
No,
I'm just saying. I got weird vibes, man.
Here's the thing. If that were to happen, I don't think that would happen.
Some great scripting.
But I also don't think I would hate Tom Brady in the like if Brock Purdy never gets caught cheating. And if Brock Purdy, like, talk to me when Brock Purdy's won 3 Super Bowls in the next 4 years. Like, then I might, you know, we might be worried about this. Or if he gets caught in a cheating thing or something. But, like, this is the reason we hate Tom Brady.
Watch him come out tomorrow, something of him cheating.
Yeah, I know, but this is what we hate about Tom Brady, is all the cheating and all the, you know, all the calls that go his way and all the, you know, everything's just been... Brock Purdy hasn't had all of that yet. So let's watch the next couple of years and see how it plays out. And we'll see what we will do. So you got Chiefs Bengals this week. Or I think the first game is the 49ers Eagles.
Is it?
Let me look here. I've got it on here.
Maybe it is.
49ers Eagles is the 3 o'clock game. So 49ers Eagles in Philadelphia. What are you thinking?
I think this is the end of the Brock Purdy winning streak. I think Eagles will win. I think I want to say the better team. They're not the better team. I just think that they will play better because this is going to be a very big game. And we've seen it with rookie quarterbacks a lot of times in the playoffs. They get in there and they don't show up and do anything. Now, Brock Purdy has shown up and done very well in the 2 games he's played. I just think that I think he's on like what, an 8-game win streak?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't lost yet as a 7th round rookie quarterback. It has to happen at some point. And while I know he has the number one defense, and normally I get behind the defense is who wins the games. And that's normally how it trends. I just think he's not going to be able to put up enough points to win the game. But I will be rooting for the 49ers. With that all said, I do think the Eagles will win, but I will be rooting for the 49ers.
I will be rooting for the 49ers. I think that... I think that this will be a low-scoring game. I think both defenses are very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. I would say the main concern on either side, the number one concern of anything, is Brock Purdy going to Philadelphia to play that defense.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think Kyle Shanahan is a great coach. And so I'm sure he'll have a plan. And let's be honest, like, his plan thus far has been to get it not in, like, it's not relying to be in Brock Purdy's hands.
That's fair.
And so, like, if you're saying, you know, it's George Kittle and Debo and McCaffrey and them to make plays, I will say that I don't know how it that Eagles defense is very good. The secondary is, I think, the best in the league. And the pass rush is very top as well. That being said, I think the Niners defense is also very good.
They're so good.
They are. I mean, the defensive line's unmatched. I think the linebackers are unmatched.
They're ranked number one.
There's a little bit of a weakness in the secondary because I think they have an injury to their top corner, but still very, very good. And so I think that's going to be – it's going to be how does Brock Purdy compare with the Eagles' defense and how does Jalen Hurts compare with the Niners' defense. And whoever wins that, I think, wins. I will be rooting for the Niners. Just because, like, I think there's just more people I like on the Niners than on the Eagles. Like when I think of the Eagles, I think of A.J. Brown. I like him. And I think of Jason Kelce, and I like him. And Darius Slay, I like him.
And then, but then when I think about the Niners, I'm thinking,
all kinds of things.
I'm like, well, I like McCaffrey. I mean, I'm not the biggest McCaffrey. I know you like him more than I do, but I'm like a huge George Kittle fan. Really like Trent Williams. Not huge on Debo, but he's fun to watch. Nick Bosa's grown on me. Really like him. Fred Warner is great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think there's just a bigger list of guys that it's, I think the 49ers are more fun to watch. And I like, for the sake of football, I think 49ers going to the Super Bowl would be good for the league because the league is so centralized around quarterback, you know, especially in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a team that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is because we went out and got the best offensive lineman and the best defensive end and the best tight end. Mm-hmm. Or not the best tight end, Travis Kelce, but, you know, an all-pro tight end. And we got a great wide receiver, and we got another great young wide receiver, and we got a all pro running back, and we've got an all pro linebacker, maybe the best linebacker. We've got, you know, just there's more of the team aspect of it as opposed to the quarterback centric other teams.
Yeah.
And then Bengals, Chiefs, and Arrowhead. Got to send the refunds back from Atlanta.
I think the Bengals are going to do it. Honestly, I think the Bengals are just going to win it all.
Yeah.
That's who I think is going to win it. Not that Mahomes and them do not have a good team. Like, they are very good. I just think Burrow is... I think Burrow is trying to be the best quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he'll get that reign at any point because Mahomes is so good, but I think he legitimately is trying. He wants to be the best quarterback in the league. I think if he wins the Super Bowl, I think you got a 1A, 1B kind of conversation, whereas right now it's 1-2 because Mahomes does have the Super Bowl. But I just think with them losing last year, they don't want to lose that badly, and they're just going to win.
I can see the Bengals winning. I have a tough time going against the Chiefs.
I get it. Very good teams.
I think similarly how this game comes down, and I'm going to put it more like on this one, the past game I said it was how does Purdy play, how does Hurts play? This I'm putting on the other way: how does the Chiefs defense play? Because I don't think the Chiefs, especially if Mahomes is out there the whole time, I don't care if he's on one foot, I don't think the Chiefs are going to have a problem doing their thing on offense. That's but bad. I could see their defense having a real hard time keeping Cincinnati from doing their thing. And so can the Chiefs defense make a couple stops so that I think this, the last one I said, I think will be low scoring. I think this will be high scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Chiefs defense make a couple of stops so that, Cincinnati against Buffalo did whatever they wanted to. Can the Chiefs defense show some resistance?
Can they stop Jamar? Because it showed last year they could not stop Jamar, who had 200 and some yards, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really is what it comes down to. It's limiting the production. Obviously, they are not going to stop, you know, Jamar, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. It's like, that's not the position I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's can they limit those guys rather than lock them up? Because they just can't. They're not that good of a defense. They're a good defense, just not that good.
Mm. I think it'll be fun. I think there's going to be two very good games.
Yeah, which is what we always hope at this time of the year, is that you at least get two good or a couple good games, and then your Super Bowl, you just hope for a good game too. And see, it's always good as long as Tom Brady's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the best time to watch. If your team's not in it and Tom Brady's not there, you're just sitting here enjoying it.
You're just sitting and enjoying, and you just kind of like follow the storyline that you like the most. Like, do you like Joe Cool? All right, support him. Do you like Brock Purdy and the miracle story? Follow him. Or Eagles.
It hurts.
And then the Hurt story. Or do you want to be the Mahomes?
If the Eagles and the Chiefs won, would it be the first time that brothers would be competing against each other in the Super Bowl?
Yes. Well, yes and no. Players. Because the Harbaugh brothers.
Oh, Harbaugh them. Coaches did.
So they're saying it's the first players who would play against each other.
Well, it's the first brothers or players who are players. It's not the first players to play against each other.
Brothers playing against each other in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There we go. Not players. A lot of brothers play each other.
Here's bottom line. I don't know if I said this or not. Bottom line, I think whoever wins Chiefs Bengals, as long as there's not a catastrophic injury, is That's winning the whole thing.
All right.
I don't have a list of anything in front of me. Right off the top of my head, I think Frank Wright got hired to be the Carolina Panthers' new coach.
Yes, and this is very interesting. Because, Bo, do you know why?
No, I don't, because I just thought the Panthers were going to continue to not be that great for the next few years.
Well, here's the thing. Carolina has the ninth overall pick. It's ninth.
Yeah.
That is pretty prime location to trade up and just make the Colts mad. Frank can get back at the Colts if he wants to and trade up, draft whatever quarterback he wants in front of the Colts.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sold on any of them this year, so I'm not overly worried.
I mean, I'm not really either. I mean, I'm on the CJ Stroud train, but still, if Bears trade, I don't know who, to Seattle for some reason, they take a quarterback, Houston takes a quarterback, and then Carolina trades in front of Colts, I think that Indiana might lose their minds. It won't happen.
Anything else NFL?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think if there's any storylines that I saw, but I don't think there is any.
Nope. I have two NBA things right off the bat. One is that Luka Doncic got hurt the other night. I'm not sure the severity of it.
I did see that.
But it snapped his streak of consecutive games played with 10 or more points.
Mm-hmm.
So now the current active records are LeBron with 1,135, Kevin Durant with 105, and I think maybe who was the other one? Someone else has 103. Who?
Joel Embiid.
That's what I thought. I was going to say Embiid, but then I couldn't remember for sure.
Embiid.
So I saw where if Embiid and Durant both play all 82 games and score 10 or more points in all of them, by the year 2036, they will have caught LeBron, assuming his streak stops.
Yeah, that's... It's crazy to me, like, to think. So, like, is this a? Because I didn't. I mean, I saw it, but I didn't look like in depth at it. Is this a stat of like every game LeBron has played, he has scored like 10 points, like kind of a thing. Okay. So it's just 108 games ago, Joel Embiid didn't score 10 points.
Yeah, it was like 100. Yeah, so
whatever that is.
So 100 of the of games Kevin Durant has played, 105 games ago, the last of games he's played, that was the last time he didn't score 10 points.
So, I mean, LeBron, awesome. That's great. It's a cool record. It absolutely surprises me that it is that big of a difference. Like, I assumed it'd be a, you know, pretty good difference. I didn't expect 900 games plus.
Well, the thing is it speaks to the durability of LeBron. Because the streaks get snapped, like with Luka last night, is when a player starts a game and gets hurt and then can't finish the game and they don't score 10 points.
Yeah. But to me, it's like, how does Joel not score 10 points? Or how does Kevin Durant not score 10 points? Like, I get that you get hurt, but like, you got hurt before you scored 10 points? What'd you do? Get hurt in the first 2 minutes?
Well, they got hurt. They got probably got hurt in the first half.
Yeah, it's a wild to me that like they don't get 10 points though, because like you hit three threes, you're already basically there. So it's just, you're the primary guy. You should have 10 points probably in the first quarter. But that's
we're talking about this record goes back to LeBron's first stint in Cleveland.
Yeah. That's a while ago.
That's like late 2000s.
Yeah. It's a lot of games. It's probably not going to get broken for a while. Or ever.
The other thing is that LeBron, maybe before the next time we have a show, he might be the new all-time scoring leader because he's only about 150 points away.
Yes. And he also might be fourth in assists.
Yeah, he's getting up there.
I forget how many he needed to get to fourth. I think that might be the end of the year he gets that. Not close. Oh. Yeah. Might have to tune into that game.
Yeah.
If he gets it within 40, that's when I probably will be like,
yeah.
Like, he could drop 40 just so he gets it.
Yeah, but that's a big deal. That's what it hasn't gotten a whole lot of. I feel like it hasn't gotten talked about much.
It really hasn't. Like you would,
but
think.
But that's a record that people thought wasn't going to get broken, and that's been the record since like in the last 50 years. Like hasn't been touched.
It'll be curious as how much he beats it by, because I know he wants to play with Bronny, which means it's at least what.
Well, and
high school, so that's 1 year, 2 years.
Yeah, but honestly, the level he's playing at now, he could play 5 more years easy.
Oh no, I agree, but I'm just like we know he's going to go at least a guaranteed 2 more years. Maybe 3 if Bronny stays for a second year and doesn't declare right away for the draft. So like, that's 3 years worth of.
I mean, score. I'm guessing he gets to at least 42,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Just be curious how far past he goes. And then I mean, we all thought no one would beat this record, but I really don't see how another player will beat it. Plus, like, they changed something, they had a 4-point line.
Yeah.
And, like, people start racking up points quickly that way. But even then, I still don't see it happening.
I mean, what year is it? It's year 20, and he's averaging 35 a game. Like I think they said like the people who have gotten up there before, like they broke that record and they were averaging like 15.
Yeah, at the end of their career.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's when, you know, that's when you're up there, you know.
It's a lot of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of healthy basketball.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Well, is there anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, then, we'll watch the games this weekend. Try to be back next week, or I guess we have the Pro Bowl, so probably just we'll either be back next week or the week after. There's not really a reason to preview a Pro Bowl, but
there's zero reason to preview a Pro Bowl.
Well, I think it'll be fun to see this year, though, because it's flag football and the Mannings are coaching, and I think Pat McAfee and Kirk Herbstreit are calling it. And
it'll be the most fun to watch, but still, there's no reason to talk.
No, about there's no reason to, yeah, whatever.
I think the most that we'll talk about is coaching hirings, and maybe like if we really wanted to talk about something, we could talk about like, well, no, we could talk about the, you know, rookie of the year.
Oh, the awards and stuff. Yeah,
we can talk the awards. That's gonna be the next episode. It's not gonna be Pro Bowl.
Yeah. But yeah, so check out the link in the thing. Tell your friends to listen. Write us and let us know stuff and all that good stuff. And you already know. And we'll see you next time here on Sports Shenanigans with Mullet and Houston.